All right. Lord, so grateful to be here this morning, so grateful to sing these songs of worship to you, to set our hearts right in the right place, God, cast our fears and anxieties on you, Lord, for your good. And God, we thank you for your word, and thank you for its testimony of all that we need to hear every single day. And so, God, enrich us and challenge us from your scripture this morning. May we trust in you this day. In Jesus' name, amen. The phrase, we will never forget. We will never forget. What does that, what does that phrase mean to you? We will never forget. What? 9/11. Yep. Yep. For the rest of the room, Jason said, when Michigan won the championship, we will never forget. On the other end of the spectrum of things, we will never forget. Said it out loud. Got you. No, we're not going to remember that. Yeah. Any other things that we will never forget? Height of COVID. When was that? March 30th? April? When is the height? When do you describe that?
It was like April.
April? Yeah. Yeah. Other things we will never forget. Yep, F5 more, yeah. Yep, Murrah Building. Yep, that's on my list for sure. Columbine, yep. Never forget. Yeah, any other things that we should never forget?
Jesus.
Jesus, okay, Sunday school answer. Winner, yay! Lisa won. It took like 12 answers to get to Jesus, guys. Like, come on. Yeah. I think of the Challenger, right? The Challenger explosion, right? Yeah, so many things. What's that?
Wives' birthdays.
Wives' birthdays, we will never forget. We will never forget. We hope we never forget, because then we won't ever forget. At Oklahoma State, there were a couple things we would never forget. The 10, we'll never forget the 10. Oklahoma State, that's the plane crash in Colorado of the 10 basketball staff that died. We'll never forget the 4. There are 4 people that died in an airplane crash associated with the athletic department there, too. It happens. Yeah, I don't know. It's weird. We'll never forget that one time, exactly. So there's a lot of things. And, you know, it's interesting, like, until you stop and start thinking through things you ought not forget, they're just kind of gone, you know? Like, it's not like they're ever present in your mind. Like, right after 9/11, for probably, I don't know, like a year, 2 years, 3 years, I mean, it was top of mind for everybody all the time. But now we're, what, 23 years past? 24 years past? It was 2024. 23 years past? Yeah, good job. Zach's got me on years, bro. He's got me tied down on years. 23 years out, and, you know, there's a lot of people that don't know, weren't born, didn't remember this, right? And so there's lots of things that we need to remind ourselves of, right? And be reminded of. Today is about that, is about things we ought not forget and remembering them in the right way. We're in 1 Samuel chapter 7, verses 3 down to 17. I'll go ahead and read our passage and then we'll jump in. And Samuel said to all the house of Israel, if you are returning to the Lord with all your heart, then put away the foreign gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and direct your heart to the Lord and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. So the people of Israel put away the Baals and Ashtaroth, and they served the Lord only. Then Samuel said, gather all Israel at Mizpah, and I will pray to the Lord for you. So they gathered at Mizpah and drew water and poured it out before the Lord, and fasted on that day, and said there, we have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the people of Israel at Mizpah. Now when the Philistines heard the people of Israel had gathered at Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the people of Israel heard of it, they were afraid of the Philistines. And the people of Israel said to Samuel, do not cease to cry out to the Lord our God for us, that he may save us from the hand of the Philistines. So Samuel took a nursing lamb and offered it as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. And Samuel cried out to the Lord for Israel, and the Lord answered him. As Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to attack. But the Lord thundered with a mighty sound that day against the Philistines and threw them into confusion, and they were defeated before Israel. And the men of Israel went out to Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and struck them as far as below Beth-kar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shen and called its name Ebenezer, for he said, "Till now the Lord has helped us." So the Philistines were subdued and did not again enter the territory of Israel, and the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. The cities of the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored to Israel from Ekron to Gath, and Israel delivered their territory from the hand of the Philistines. There was peace also between Israel and the Amorites. Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life, and he went on circuit year by year to Bethel, Gilgal, and Mizpah, and he judged Israel in all those places. Then he would return to Ramah, for his home was there, and there he also judged Israel and built there an altar to the Lord. And pray. Lord, we thank you again for your word, and thank you for the chance to read it and be encouraged and strengthened by it. Just pray for our time, God, that you would convict us and challenge us from your scripture. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so if you'll take me back up to verse 3. We see kind of three movements in the passage today. First, we're going to see the people of Israel returning to the Lord. Then we see them have victory over the Philistines. And then we see the continued ministry of Samuel in the land of Israel. So I'll just walk through these pieces briefly and talk through them. Verses 3 and 4, we see Samuel says to the house of Israel, okay, they have just lost the ark to the Philistines, and the ark came back, and now it's placed at Kiriath-Jearim. You might remember that from last week. And it's there for 20 years. Okay, so it's like planted there for a long time. And so Samuel now comes to the foreground and says, gathers all the house of Israel and says, "If you are returning to the Lord with all your heart, then put away the foreign gods and the Ashtaroth from among you and direct your heart to the Lord and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines." And hey, you know what? Israel did it. So I know we give Israel like a bad rap all the time, but not everything they do is bad. A lot of times they actually repented. And this is a moment that we can remember and see that Israel was confronted by their circumstances. And Samuel called them out and said, if you are returning to the Lord, then this is what it looks like. Put away your idols, cast them away, and turn your heart to the Lord. Turn your desires to the Lord. Turn your affections to the Lord and serve him only. And so the people of Israel return to the Lord. Samuel then says in verses 5 and 6, gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray to the Lord for you there. So they gather there and drew water and poured it out before the Lord and fasted on that day there. So not just Samuel, but the connotation here is that all of Israel took on this act, this action of drawing out water and pouring it out. Like, think about that. The whole nation, anyone that could gather at Mizpah, gathers and pulls out water from a well and then pours it on the ground. Now, that may seem kind of like whatever to you and, you know, to us a lot of time, you know. Like most days, right, you can just go to your faucet and turn on the water and then pour it out. But if you remember, let us never forget, like Irma, you know, when Irma came by and the water was shut down and there was no water for a time, right? Water is precious. And for these people, at this time, water was always precious. There wasn't a time when they had plumbing coming to your faucet to just pour water that you could drink at any time. It's like, well, it's not Fiji, but it was, yeah, it's like, it's fine. It's going to be okay, you know? Drink the water. So the whole of Israel says, okay, we're going to gather water out of a well. We don't know when this well is going to run out, but we're going to gather the water out of the well, and we're going to pour it out before the Lord. And so this corporate action of saying, yeah, God is our supplier, and he is supplying in this, and we're going to worship him by this action of going, here's what God has given, and it is from the Lord, and we give it back to him. Hello, hello. She's ready to preach. All right, here you go. And so the whole of the country, oh gosh. Pours out this water before the Lord and confesses, right? They're in this is actually a moment of repentance for them. We have sinned against the Lord. And this is their way of showing that they recognize that God is their provider, and they're worshiping Him as that. So they fast and pray and repent and put away their false gods. And so again, you might remember like a couple weeks ago, well, it was last week or week before, I can't remember. They brought out the Ark of the Covenant to attempt to defeat the Philistines. Remember that? So okay, we're losing this battle, so let's go get the Ark and bring it out here, and then we'll win because we have the Ark with us, right? And so you might remember that when the Ark came into the camp, the people of Israel gave a great shout, like a loud shout, so much that the Philistines were afraid, but they said to each other, you can't be afraid, you still have to fight. If you don't fight, then we're going to be slaved to the Israelites. Okay? So put that in the back of your head. Now, verse 7. Now, when the Philistines heard the people of Israel had gathered at Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against the people of Israel, and the people heard of it and were afraid of the Philistines. And the people of Israel said to Samuel, do not cease to cry out to the Lord our God for us, that he may save us from the hand of the Philistines. Now, just recognize the difference of what they are putting their trust in. In the previous battle, they were putting their trust in the Ark of the Covenant, the physical Ark of the Covenant. We're going to bring this Ark, and it's going to save us. This Ark is going to be the thing that saves us. So let's bring that Ark out, and then we'll win the battle. They didn't ask Eli's sons to pray for them before the Lord. They didn't ask Eli to pray for them before the Lord. They just grabbed the Ark and took it to the battlefield and said, see, we're the winners. Our God's the God. So, do your thing, Ark, right? But here, they say to Samuel, do not cease to cry out to the Lord our God for us, that he may save us from the hand of the Philistines. It was never about the Ark being able to save. It was always about what the Ark represents and who the Ark represents that was powerful. That God is, the song said it today, the power of my powers. I love that line. That's like, God is the power of my power, right? And the same here. God is the power of their power in this. And so they say to Samuel, cry out to God for us that he may save us from the hand of the Philistines. So Samuel takes a nursing lamb, offers it as a whole burnt offering to the Lord, and Samuel cried out to the Lord for Israel, and the Lord answered him. Verse 10, as Samuel's offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to attack Israel, but you might remember again that the people last time gave a great thundering sound. The people shouted so loud that it felt like thunder, okay, to the Philistines, and they were afraid. But here it says, as Samuel was offering this burnt offering, the Philistines got near to attack. But the Lord thundered with a mighty sound that day against the Philistines and threw them into confusion, and they were defeated before Israel. The Israelites didn't do anything. The Philistines have already lost the battle, okay? It is the Lord that thundered before them, not man hoping in his own strength or man hoping in his own charms or patterns or what have you, but rather the Israelites hoping in their God. And then God showed up and was there for them. And the men of Israel, verse 11, went out from Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and struck them as far as below Bethkar. The Israelites really didn't do much of anything. The Lord thundered against all of Philistines. They went into confusion, and all Israel had to do was chase them on off the territory, right? Because they were in fear. So the Lord brings this great victory to Israel by his hand and by the faith of the Israelites. And so we see in verses 12 to 17 the result and kind of like the backdrop of Samuel's life and ministry as we look forward to the rest of Samuel, the first Samuel. So it says this, Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shen and called its name Ebenezer. For he said, till now the Lord has helped us. And I always wondered, this is why we sang that song, obviously, right? Like, always wonder, like, I never knew where that came from exactly. Like, never really, like, looked that up necessarily. Here I raise my Ebenezer, right? I just never really, like, thought about that in terms of what story that connected to, but this is the story that connects to. This is when the Philistines were defeated before the Israelites, as they hoped in God, and God thundered against them. And so he set up this rock, this Ebenezer, for them to remember that until now, the Lord has helped us. And what does that to mean? Looking back at our whole history, we've been given this land when we were in Canaan to Abraham. We got taken into slavery to Egypt. He took us out of slavery and we're in the wilderness. He brought us into the land and defeated our enemies. And he is still with us. And the Lord has still helped us. And so what he has done already in the past should color how we look forward into the future and say, should I be anxious about what is ahead? No, the Lord has helped us to this moment. It will continue to help us as we place our hope and strength in him. And so the Philistines were subdued and did not enter the territory of Israel again. And the hand of the Lord was against them all the days of Samuel. So as long as Samuel lived, the Philistines did not step into their territory. The cities of the Philistines have been taken from Israel, were restored to Israel from Ekron to Gath. Ekron and Gath are actually Philistine cities, so the intention here is that like all the land between them and up to those points was given back to the Israelites. There was peace between Israel and the Amorites. Amorites meaning like all the people of the land. So all the people they left during the conquest, remember they left like a lot of people in the land during the conquest. There was peace between the Israelites and those that they had left in the land. So they weren't fighting with each other at this point. They were just kind of being together. And finally, verses 15 to 17, what is Samuel doing? Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life, and he went on a circuit year by year to Bethel, Gilgal, Mizpah, and he judged Israel in all these places. And then he would return to Ramah, for his home was there, and there he also judged Israel, and he built an altar there to the Lord. Just a brief geography lesson. Hey, Abe, can you give me my map? It's kind of small. I'm sorry about that. But this is the north of Israel, and this is the south. This is northern kingdom Israel and southern kingdom Judah once they split apart. And right in the middle, okay, I know it's fuzzy, but right in the middle is where we're talking about. This is the Jordan River on the east side. This is Jerusalem here, Bethlehem, to its south. And so Samuel, year by year, is going between these four cities, Bethel, Gilgal, Ramah, and Mizpah, okay? So he's making a circuit around these cities. And so the Lord has helped us until this day. The Lord has helped us, right, until this time. What is significant? Why would Samuel choose to circuit through these cities? Anybody remember some things that happened at these cities? This is a pop quiz. Bethel, Gilgal, Mizpah, and Ramah. Bethel is Jacob's ladder. Bethel is where the Lord met Jacob and extended his covenant to Jacob. And Jacob is the father of the 12 tribes. Okay, so Bethel is where the Lord met Jacob. That's, yep. And what else about, anything else about Bethel? Can't you remember? Anything else? So Bethel is the site where the northern kingdom would worship through their time. So when Jesus meets the woman at the well, and he say, we worship here on this mountain, that's what he's talking about, Bethel, where they offering, where their father Jacob offered to the Lord. That's where they're offering to the Lord there in Bethel, okay? Any other things about these cities you remember? Gilgal is the stone of remembrance of what? Crossing of the Jordan. So Gilgal is when the Israelites crossed in from the wilderness to take over in the conquest. So that's Gilgal. Anything else about Gilgal? We remember. Is that Gilgal? I don't think that's Gilgal. What's that? Yeah, Gaza. Yeah, Gaza. Yeah, he went the other direction. He went the other direction. Yeah, that's okay. So Gilgal, the covenant renewal. So we have the whole time of Joshua, and they're like, get mixed up. Okay, when they have covenant renewal, they come back to Gilgal because that's where they first entered the land. So they come back to Gilgal there. Gilgal is also the place in Judges where the angel comes to Gilgal and then to the people to like tell them what they need to do. So Gilgal is important. It's where they first step into their inheritance, where the land the Lord has given them in Gilgal. Okay? Mizpah. You remember Mizpah? This one's a little harder, I think. Judges, yep. So Mizpah, this is the bad part of Judges. This is back in the bad part of Judges. When the Benjaminites were making a mess and Gilead and all that whole thing, right? So Mizpah is where all the people of Israel gathered together and went to war against Benjamin, okay? And it also happens to be the place now, in this present time, Samuel's going, we've just gathered at Mizpah, right? And this is where the Lord is our help. He has helped us until now. And so Mizpah is the place, at least in this time for sure, they're going to remember this. And so these are important, important sites for Israel. And they're important in this time as Samuel is remembering the faithfulness of God. And they are important in the future too. And at this time, Samuel says, I'm going to take these cities and year by year I'm going to visit all these cities. He's just circuiting through these cities and he's probably encouraging the people and solving, maybe disputes that might be happening, all this kind of thing. Throughout the land. Finally, Ramah is Samuel's birthplace. Okay, so this is where Samuel was born. He goes back to his hometown, sets up an altar there. At this point, we think Shiloh has been destroyed because the ark is gone from Shiloh, which is where it was before the Philistines took it. And so Samuel's making this circuit. Okay. So that's our passage today. What do we take from this? What do we take from this passage? And a few things I want to just challenge our hearts with and encourage us this morning. First thing is this, and I think we see this in this passage, and thankfully we get to celebrate this in this passage. Repentance is a change of behavior. Repentance is a change of behavior. We think about repentance as this spiritual word, right? And we think, okay, repentance, yeah, I'm repenting. We think about it, something in my heart, right? And something in my mind as repentance, something, okay, I'm repentant, okay? That's good. So repentance, though, is never divorced from some sort of action. Because what has happened with repentance is that you have caused a wrong. You have broken some sort of relationship. You've done something that has caused a divide. And so repentance is actually doing something different and changing that and turning in a different direction. And so repentance is taking an action. So here for the Israelites, right, they were worshiping the gods of the land. They were worshiping the Asherah and the Baals. They had taken on the gods of the land that they were to defeat. God's whole intention in giving them the land, or part of his intention in giving them the land, was to wipe out the false worship that had been done in this land. And they didn't do it. And in fact, they took on wives and husbands, and married in with them, and then also worshiped their gods instead of worshiping God. And so what we see in this passage is that Samuel comes to them and says, hey guys, like you just saw, your ears are tingling because you just saw the Ark of the Covenant, which you so trusted in that you thought you could take it to a battlefield and win. You just saw it be taken captive to your enemies. And then you saw it destroy your enemies, not with you around it, but on its own, okay? And so you would probably be gathering that something major has happened in the hearts of the Israelites such that they realize, oh gosh, like what have we been doing? We trusted in the physical ark rather than in the God whom it represents. And so Samuel calls them all together and says, listen, if you want to get right, okay, you're going to have to do something. And these are the things you're going to have to do. You're going to have to repent. And this is what repentance looks like. Return to the Lord with all of your heart. Take your whole heart, all your desires, and put it on the Lord, okay, first of all. Second, action. Okay, that results in action. And that action is put away the foreign gods and the Asherah from among you, right? When we're not right with the Lord, that means we've set our affections onto something else. Something else, someone else, some idea, or whatever. We have placed our affection and our hope in some future that we put in our mind, or something that we covet, or someone that we think will solve our problems. Okay, we've put our affections and our trust in something else. And so repentance before the Lord is to say, I'm going to remove my hope in that which is going to fade and turn to dust, and rather put it on the Lord, my Ebenezer, who has helped me unto this day. And so repentance is actually, you have to take action to turn from what you were hoping in to what is the only hope you have, which is our Lord. And so this is the repentance that the people of Israel were called to and put into action. They cast out and trashed all their idols, said, oh yeah, what are we doing? Like, we serve the one true God. Let's worship him only. And so Samuel says to them, return to the Lord with all your heart. Put away your foreign gods and Ashtaroth. This is not just assent to a belief. This is not just trust in what philosophy you think is the best philosophy. This is a change of your life into devotion to the Lord and what he has called you to do and follow. And so there's action that has to take place. And then continually, third thing, direct your heart, verse 3, direct your heart to the Lord and serve him only. Tell your heart, right? Directing your heart means you look at your heart, right? As a person, you go, okay, heart, I know you feel like trusting in your own strength, but I need you to trust in the Lord's strength. And I don't know if you guys do this or not, but I often trust in myself. I'm like very intent on trusting what I can do and the power that I have. I like to comfort myself, right? And so I have to tell my heart where it ought to find its comfort. I have to look at the word and say, find your hope in God. It is the Lord who has helped us until now. And this is what faith is, right? This is placing my faith in the God who is our Savior. Not in myself as saving myself, but rather in God who is Savior. And so this is what Samuel has called them to do. Direct your heart to the Lord. And I guarantee you, today, okay, all of us, and tomorrow, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, okay, our hearts are going to want to be directed towards something else. Right? We're going to want to trust in our stockpile. We're going to want to trust in our gas tank. We're going to want to trust in plywood on our window. Like, we're going to want to trust in a lot of other things this week. And those are good things to do, okay, and to be prepared. But where is our trust? Our trust is in the Lord, and so fix it on the Lord. Direct your heart. Whenever you're anxious, whenever you're fearful, direct your heart to its right position in trust of the Lord and serve him only. This is repentance. It's a change of behavior. It's not just a new understanding of like a religion we think is the best of all the religions. It's actually a trusting in the Lord who brought that faith to us and following him in every day of our life, in every action and every decision. And so repentance is changing our behavior that we might follow the Lord. The second thing that I want to draw from this is, what I started with, which is like, we will never forget, right? We'll never forget. There's lots of things we will never forget and that we ought remember for sure, right? But there is a right way and a wrong way to remember things, okay? There's a right way and a wrong way to remember things. There is a wrong way to remember 9/11. There's a wrong way to remember the Murrah Building. There's a wrong way to remember these things that have happened in our past. There's a wrong way to remember the 4th of July, okay? There's a wrong way to remember things. And there's also a wrong way to remember my map, right? Mizpah and Ramah and Gilgal and what's the other one? Bethel, right? Bethel? Yeah. Did I get them all? Did I remember them all? There is a right and a wrong way to remember these things. Because we know this as a fact, actually, because of Israel's continued history, okay? If you read on, and we will later get to Amos and other prophets, the people of Israel remembered these places wrongly. Amos 5, 4 to 7 says this, "For thus says the Lord to the house of Israel, seek me and live, but do not seek Bethel, and do not enter into Gilgal, or cross over to Beersheba, for Gilgal shall surely go into exile, and Bethel shall come to nothing. Seek the Lord and live, lest he break out like fire in the house of Joseph and devour it, and with none to quench it for Bethel. Or you who turn justice to wormwood and cast down righteousness to the earth." See, our hearts are pretty devious, okay? We will take these moments. We will take Bethel and Gilgal and Mizpah and Ramah. Yeah, there we go. That's the other one. And Ramah. And we'll say, see, that was the place where I met the Lord. And that place I will exalt in my heart. And I will always be pining for the day of Bethel and what happened at Bethel. And I'll exalt Bethel, right? I will always live in, my life will be shadowed completely by 9/11 and its impacts. And everything I do will be, you know, decided based on 9/11 and its impacts, okay? What is that doing? That's placing 9/11 as a god to you. That's placing Bethel as a god to you. That's placing Gilgal as a god to you. I remember the time we came into the land. Do you remember that time in Gilgal when we came into the land? We will never forget it. I just wish we had the days of Gilgal, the good old days of Gilgal. And we exalt these things. And our remembrance is not on what the Lord has done and who the Lord is, but rather on these places and times and things that we've exalted in our heads. And it becomes a wrong remembrance, such that the prophets would say, do not seek Gilgal. Do not seek Bethel. Bethel is just a place, and Gilgal is just a place, just as Jerusalem is just a place. I don't know if you know, but like there hadn't been a temple there for 2,000 years. Okay, Jerusalem is a piece of land, okay? And God is above that, okay? We look at that and we go, Lord, why? Why is there not a temple back there? It should be the place where you keep holy, right? He's going, nah, I think I know what I'm doing. It's not about places and times and things. It's about me and what I've accomplished, that I'm after your whole heart every single day in every single circumstance. And so let us be people that, yeah, look back at what the Lord has done and remember rightly what he has done, not exalt the things he has done, okay, above him, right? Because we can do that. We literally will exalt the things God has done above God himself. And we get twisted up on that. And we have to continue to hope in the Lord. This manifests in a number of ways, and one of them that comes to my mind is that when we were in seminary in Boston, I had this professor, and he told us this story about listening to Holy Spirit. And he said, he told us this one time there was this conference that these schools had put together, and joint conference of professors from the area and pastors from the area had gathered together in this one place, and they had an encounter with the Lord. Okay, the Lord met them, you know, and it was beautiful, and God did a powerful work in their hearts, right? And guess what they tried to do? They tried to do it again. Oh, if we just do this over there, then we will be able to have this experience again. Because what were they chasing? They were chasing the experience and not their Lord. The reason the Lord showed up is because they were crying out to him. The reason he didn't show up the next time was because they were crying out for experiences. They were crying out for Bethel and Gilgal. And so, yeah, never forget, okay? Never forget the past, because God is using the past to shape you and challenge you and help you in the future. But what he chiefly wants you to remember is Ebenezer. The Lord has helped us until now. Bethel didn't help us. Gilgal didn't help us. Jerusalem didn't help us. Ramah didn't help us. These places didn't help us. The Lord showed up there, and he was the one that helped us every single time. And so if we're going to be a people that looks at this word and is challenged by it and applies it to our lives, then first of all, we got to be like the people of Israel and look around our lives and go, am I holding anything up above the Lord? And repent. And look at how you change that. How do I change my heart's attitude to what the Lord is doing in my life and what he's calling me to? I have to repent and change my behavior. Put away the gods that I've built up in my heart. And second, you do need to remember. You do need to remember what the Lord has done. But don't remember the things. Remember that the Lord has done the things. Okay? We were talking about this just a while back. It had been a long time since we celebrated Diamond Day in our house. Christine and I were talking about this a few weeks back. And, you know, I always butcher the story because I don't remember very well. So she should probably tell it. But basically, we lost a diamond earring, right? It's like, we didn't have much, you know? It's like, but we lost a diamond earring. And we're like, looked, turned the house upside down, trying to find Christy's diamond earring that I'd given to her. And couldn't find it. Couldn't find it. And one day we prayed. Lord, like, it's just a diamond earring. Like, it's not, you know, but, like, it's special. You know, it's important to us. Help us find it. And no kidding, like, in a place we've walked over, we'd been over, we'd seen it, like, right on the floor, diamond earring. And we're like, wow, like, we couldn't find it until we prayed. Like, we literally could not find it until we prayed and asked the Lord for help. And then we found it, right? So we don't remember Diamond Day because, like, we, like, buy diamonds every time that we'd be broke. You know, if we had to celebrate Diamond Day in that way, Christy would be happy, but, you know, it'd be tough, right? But why don't we do that? She says, yeah, exactly. Why don't we celebrate Diamond Day that way? You know, but we got to remember that day of what the Lord had done in that, not in what he'd done, okay, because he's going to do all sorts of manner of things and new things that will tingle our ears, right? And so remember that it is the Lord that is doing these things. It is the Lord who has helped us until now. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for it reminds our hearts where we ought to place our hope and what we ought to trust in. And we thank you that you made it very simple for us in that, that we can trust in you. No matter what circumstances may come, no matter what we face each and every day, Lord, we cast our anxieties, we cast our fears, we place our hopes, we place our plans, we place all these things at your feet and worship you, our God. Lord, we pray that you would convict us. Lord, if there's things that we've elevated in our hearts above you, if there's even past times that we've elevated in our hearts above you, God, then we cast them down at your altar and say, Lord, take them. They're yours. We give them over to you. All the water we have drawn up from the ground, God, we pour it out before you. Okay, it is yours. And so, Lord, we cast ourselves before you and ask you, God, that you would help us to remember rightly what you have done and remember it for your sake and exalting you in these things. And God, Lord, we just pray for the coming week ahead that you give us peace that transcends all understanding, that would walk in wisdom that we find in you and you alone. Pray this all in Christ's name. Amen.